Following are comments on William Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, Act 3. Nor wit nor reason can my passion hide. Countess Olivia admits that she is hopelessly in love with Cesario, only to be answered cryptically. In Act 3, Scene 1, in conversation with Viola Cesario, Feste declares himself not the Countess Olivia's fool, but her, quote-unquote, corrupter of words. Act 3, Scene 1, line 31. When he's through making jests, Viola points out that playing the role of fool requires much perceptiveness. Quote unquote, to do that well craves a kind of wit. He must observe their mood on whom he jests, the quality of persons, and the time. Act 3, Scene 1, lines 54 through 56. Folly is Feste's way of maintaining perspective in a strange and contradictory world, and it allows him to do something like what a courtier must do, engage with various people in ways that suit them and him. A fool and a courtier are skilled in the vital discipline of recognizing and maintaining decorum, even if a fool sometimes mocks the rules. But with regard to those who are wise in the ordinary way, folly and word-hashing may bring them into discredit. Olivia continues to wear her passion on her skirt sleeve. She admits to Viola Cesario that the ring business was a device meant to build intimacy between herself and the youth. Quote unquote, I did send, after the last enchantment you did here, a ring in chase of you. Act 3, Scene 1, lines 103 through 105. She asks Viola Cesario, quote unquote, have you not set mine honor at the stake? Act 3, Scene 1, line 110. It's a fair question. To Olivia's confession, quote unquote, nor wit nor reason can my passion hide, Viola Cesario can only speak in riddles, thanks to the bind into which her gender disguising has put her. Giving only this frustrating response to love-stricken Olivia, quote unquote, I have one heart, one bosom, and one truth, and that no woman has, nor never none shall mistress be of it, save I alone. Act 3, Scene 1, line 143, and lines 149 through 151. In her introduction to Twelfth Night in the Riverside Shakespeare second edition, Anne Barton is right to suggest that Viola's disguise doesn't exactly liberate her in the way that, say, Rosalind's disguise does in the green world of As You Like It. It buys her some time and affords her some perspective, but it isn't freedom to experiment at will that Viola gains in her disguise as Cesario in Illyria. Taunt him with the license of ink. Sir Toby pushes Sir Andrew towards a show of valor to impress Countess Olivia, and Antonio follows Sebastian to town in spite of the danger to himself. In Act 3, Scene 2, Fabian, acting on behalf of Sir Toby, stirs up Sir Andrew to an act of valor that should impress Olivia. Behind Andrew's back, however, Toby expresses his contempt for Sir Andrew, admitting that he's taken him for a considerable sum already. To Fabian, he says, quote unquote, I have been dear to him, lad, some 2,000 strong or so. Act 3, Scene 2, lines 47 through 48. In truth, Sir Andrew is more Sir Toby's quarry than his protege. The following advice Toby gives Andrew is worth quoting. Quote unquote, taunt him with the license of ink. If thou thou'st him some thrice, it shall not be amiss. And as many lies as will lie in thy sheet of paper, ellipsis, set him down, go about it. Act 3, Scene 2, lines 38 through 41. In fact, fleecing Sir Andrew is Sir Toby's game all through the play. A fool and his money, as the saying goes. We can find genuine exemplars of male heroism in Shakespeare. Hotspur in Henry IV Part 1, for instance, or Macduff in Macbeth. But here, as elsewhere, there's strong awareness that male posturing is an ancient profession. The semblance of valor often substitutes for the thing itself. Shakespeare's plays are amply populated with what Rosalind in As You Like It calls, quote-unquote, mannish cowards who stare down the world until it blinks. They, quote-unquote, outface it with their semblances. Norton Shakespeare Comedies, page 685, Act 1, Scene 3, lines 117 through 118. In Act 3, Scene 3, Antonio remains a faithful friend to Sebastian. He follows the younger man to town to save him from danger in spite of the peril to himself. As he explains, quote-unquote, once in a sea fight gainst the Count's galleys, I did some service. Act 3, Scene 3, lines 26 through 27. Antonio lends his new friend his purse for spending money, another act that indicates a strong bond between the two. Act 3, Scene 3, line 38. Nothing, ellipsis, can come between me and the full prospect of my hopes. Malvolio executes Mariah's letter instructions and is locked up as a madman. Antonio is escorted away in chains after taking Cesario Sebastian's part against Andrew in the duel that Toby and Fabian have incited. In Act 3, Scene 4, Malvolio makes his pitch to Countess Olivia, which consists mainly of smiling bizarrely and mentioning with pride his yellow stockings. Act 3, Scene 4, lines 11 through 13 and 19 through 22 inclusive. Olivia professes concern for Malvolio's welfare, saying, quote unquote, good Mariah, let this fellow be looked to. Act 3, Scene 4, line 57. Initially, Malvolio has no idea how much trouble he's in and believes his suit has been a fantastic success. Quote unquote, nothing that can be can come between me and the full prospect of my hopes. Act 3, Scene 4, lines 74 through 76. It's true that courtship casts one in a role, but it's a role for which creativity seems essential. Malvolio is simply following a script that renders him absurd, and as the Norton editor suggests, the puffed-up steward's responses to Olivia are just patches of popular sayings and ballads. At this point, Sir Toby thinks he can play out the jest at his own pace. Quote unquote, come, we'll have him in a dark room and bound. Act 3, Scene 4, line 122. How long will the torment last? It can continue, says Sir Toby, quote unquote, for our pleasure and his penance till our very pastime. Tired out of breath, prompt us to have mercy on him. Act 3, Scene 4, lines 124 through 125. Sir Andrew is now spurred on to challenge Viola Cesario as a rival suitor. As so often, Shakespeare makes fun of masculine pretensions to chivalric honor and mastery of violence. Neither Sir Andrew nor Viola Cesario is any kind of fighter, but at least the latter doesn't suppose otherwise. Mercifully, in this instance, words will mostly take the place of violence. Sir Toby advises Andrew to draw his sword when the duel comes and begins swearing copiously, since often, he says, quote unquote, a terrible oath with a swaggering accent, sharply twanged off, gives manhood more approbation than ever proof itself would have earned him. Act 3, Scene 4, lines 159 through 161. Part of Sir Toby's fun will be to cure the malady described by means of a homeopathic remedy, putting two pretenders together in a preposterous duel. Sir Toby is enjoying himself, and schemes to deliver Sir Andrew's challenge in person rather than by the thoroughly unimpressive letter he will no doubt write. Act 3, Scene 4, lines 163 through 165. Sir Toby will, he supposes, thereby scare Viola Cesario beyond all measure. More than that, he says, quote unquote, this will so fright them both that they will kill one another by the look, like cockatrices. Act 3, Scene 4, lines 172 through 174. After practically begging Fabian and Sir Toby to mollify the fearsome Sir Andrew, Viola puns to herself, quote unquote, Pray God defend me. A little thing would make me tell them how much I lack of a man. Act 3, Scene 4, lines 271 through 272. Viola recognizes that her disguise is more than ever a trap. This situation can't go on much longer. While all this planning is going on, Olivia admits her fear to Viola Cesario that she has been reckless. She has, she confesses, quote unquote, said too much unto a heart of stone and laid mine honor too uncherry on it. Act 3, Scene 4, lines 179 through 180. She has risked her honor, but perhaps more importantly, to speak this way, is to risk being confronted with the reverberation of one's own unrestrained passion as a kind of madness. Viola Cesario again tries to redirect Olivia's love to another object, Orsino, as if to assert the interchangeability of love objects. Act 3, Scene 4, line 191. To Sir Andrew, Sir Toby hypes the martial prowess of Viola Cesario, just as shortly before he had done the same in playing fencing promoter with Viola Cesario about the alleged ferocity of Sir Andrew. Just as the fight is about to get underway, Antonio arrives and takes it upon himself to maintain Viola Cesario's part in the quarrel, declaring bravely, quote unquote, I for him defy you. Act 3, Scene 4, line 282. Upon this defiance, he is challenged by an incredulous Sir Toby, and then instantly arrested for piracy by the Duke's officers. Act 3, Scene 4, line 286 through 87, and lines 294 through 295. Drawn into the craziness that is Illyria, Antonio believes Sebastian is betraying him because Viola Cesario won't hand over the purse Antonio had given Sebastian a while back. Antonio desperately needs the money to make bail. Act 3, Scene 4, lines 314 through 316 inclusive. Quote unquote, thou hast, Sebastian, done good feature shame. Is the only utterance the amazed Antonio can summon. Act 3, Scene 4, line 333. He is upset that such a beautiful form, he says, seems so capable of housing an evil interior. Quote unquote, virtue is beauty, but the beauteous evil are empty trunks or flourished by the devil. Act 3, Scene 4, lines 336 through 337. Even so, the mention of Sebastian is useful to Viola, who now gains some hope that her lost brother has survived. Quote unquote, prove true, imagination, oh, prove true, that I, dear brother, be now ta'en for you. Act 3, Scene 4, lines 342 through 343. Thanks for listening. The date of this audio recording is Monday, July 21st, 2025. The foregoing material is copyright 2025 by Alfred J. Drake. For quotations from Twelfth Night, I have relied on the Norton Shakespeare 3rd edition 4-volume genre-based format.